Gordon, W2TTT. And this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Chestnut Ridge Radio Club. Technical net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR. Alrighty, good evening everyone. That's the right answer to that question. This is W2TTT K2BAR for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Chestnut Ridge Radio Club Technical Net. This net is conducted weekly on a frequency of 146.955 MHz. It is accessed with a PL of 141.3. The repeater is located in Alpine, New Jersey. The offset, by the way, is minus 600 kHz. The net's also accessible via the Kilo 2 Foxtrot Juliet Dash Lima, K2 Foxtrot Juliet Dash Lima, EchoLink node. Please feel free to use that as well. This net's a little different than other nets you might check out. This net is about having a conversation about amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunications, natural sciences that underlie our hobby and support its interesting operational modes. It's also about what we do with amateur radio, how we've served others, how we worked on various things we've done, things we aspire to do, things we never want to do again. We also can list for sale swapper wanted items, so it's pretty wide open. You can tell stories, you can ask questions, all sorts of things. So we hope you will join us tonight, irrespective of whether or not you thought you had something to contribute. Now, just to be clear, we actually want you to check in, even if you don't have one of those items, because you become part of the family, as it were. By checking in, we get to know that you're there, and we can kind of tailor the net to your needs and wants and desires, whether or not you explicitly state them. Sometimes we know you, sometimes we don't, but we hope to get to know you. So do plan to check in. So with no further ado, let's talk about how we're going to check in. I realized I was close talking the microphone, so I'm backing off the mic. That should be better. Let's see. One side note before we talk about checking in, I do want to point out that there are no hockey games to watch tonight, so there will be no visual distractions here in the ham shack. Both conference finals are going to game sevens. The Rangers in Tampa on Friday night, and Chicago and Anaheim on Saturday. So, very exciting times for those of us who enjoy hockey. So, let's move on to the matter at hand. If you wish to check in, please check in with your call sign, your name. Indicate whether you have a question, comment, for sale, swap, or wanted item, none of the above. And you would say none of the above, as I said, because we need to know you're there. If you don't have an explicit item to contribute, don't be shy anyway. Do check in. So, stations as call signs begin with the letter whiskey. It's your turn this week to go first. Please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is W2PDQ, Richard in Clifton, New Jersey, with a question, repeat question, Gordon.
Okay, I just note you have a question, Richard. I'll get to the specifics later. That's awesome. Any other whiskeys?
Whiskey Alpha 2, India Sierra Echo. Name here is Bob, and have a question. Specifically about the Hamfest and the testing session. I know somebody who wants to take the test, but I don't think he's interested in the Hamfest. Over.
Whiskey 2 Juliet Charlie, listening only until a half hour. Over.
Roger, W2JC. Good evening, James, and good evening, Bob. I got Bob's question. Jim, I got your caveat. Any other whiskeys? Alpha has begin with November.
This is N2OEL. One question.
Good evening, Noel. Methinks you're in New Jersey. Welcome, welcome, welcome. All righty. Any other Novembers?
November 8th, Michael Alpha Romeo. Good evening, Gordon. This is David from Maywood Mobile. No questions, no comments.
Good evening, David. Your HT is holding up. Any other Novembers? Okay, Alpha stations.
Alpha, 2 Kilo Yankee.
The Kilo Yankee again, please.
Alpha Charlie 2 Kilo Yankee.
Alpha Charlie 2 Kilo Yankee. Your name and intention, sir.
I'm sorry, I just came in late. It's Warren. The name is Warren. Whiskey Alpha Romeo Romeo Echo November. Just listening.
Evening, Warren. Where are you located, by the way?
Fine business. Port Washington.
Very nice. Okay, you used a new call on the net that I recall anyway, so welcome aboard. That's great. Alrighty, any other Alphas?
AA2WP, Willie P, just lurking.
AA2WP, welcome aboard, Willie. And I'm kind of curious if you went to the luncheon the other day. I wasn't able to go, and I felt really bad because I had intended to go. But alright. Any other Alphas? Okay, Kilos.
Kilo Bravo 2 Sugar Sugar Echo 10 Ringwood, listening.
Good evening, Ken. Welcome aboard. And by for my announcement regarding the fun and games of the upcoming Passaic County Fair in August. Alrighty, any other Kilos?
Kilo 2, Echo India Romeo, K2EIR, Howie in Tarrytown, just listening tonight.
Good evening, Howie. Who is the station to double with Howie? Alright, any other stations with a Kilo?
K2GFM, Greg in Montvale with a question.
Greg, good evening. Welcome aboard. Any other Kilos?
ECQ, UVQ, Irvington, New York. Just listening till 9:30.
Hey, very good. KC2UVQ. Your name again?
Bill. I spell Papa Hotel in Helium.
Okay, very good. So, your signal's plenty strong, but your audio's a little weaker than everybody else's. I'm not sure exactly why, but welcome aboard. Alrighty, any other Kilos?
K2BAR, KM4GHN, Mitch Dubs, Free New York, none of the above.
Good evening, Mitch. Welcome, welcome. Any other Kilos?
Kilo Delta 2, India Romeo, Yankee, Mike out of Dubs, Ferry.
KD2IRY, good evening, Mike. What are your intentions?
Listening only.
Very good, Mike. Thank you very much. Any other Kilos? Any other stations on Echolink? Echolink only, please.
Good evening. Kilo Bravo 2, Tango Romeo Whiskey. Calling in from South Carolina. And I just, none of the above.
Good evening, Kai. Welcome aboard. Okie doke. Any other stations on Echolink? Alrighty, any other stations on the repeater?
WA2QBC, no traffic.
WA2QBC, welcome aboard. Any other stations?
N2NBR.
N2NBR, your intentions? I have one question, and here is John, QTH's Northern Westchester. Okay, very good. Gotcha, John. Anybody else?
2 AMI with a good comment, I guess.
I think I know what that might be, and that's great, Tony. Good to hear you. I haven't heard you in a couple of weeks. Very good. Any other stations wishing to check in? Alrighty. Real quickly, Tony, I think you're going to talk about the Hamfest. If you could also talk about the timings for the test session and the requirements, because we do not have Don in here tonight. If you could address those two points in your transmission, I'd appreciate it. K2AMI, KGBAR.
Gordon, this is K2AMI, Tony, and I'm sorry that Don is not here. But concerning the test session, there will be a test session at the Hamfest at the Westwood Junior Senior High School on Saturday morning. The testing starts at 8 o'clock and runs till 10 o'clock. There is, of course, the usual requirements to bring $15 and two forms of ID if you don't have a good picture ID. One good picture ID would be helpful. If you have any other credentials like previous accomplishments in your testing program or a previous license, bring that along too. But Don W2JK administers all the VE testing. There will be a group there testing from 8 till 10. Don't come at 11 to 10:30 or even 2 minutes to 10. They may not be happy about that. So testing this coming Saturday, May 30th, at the Westwood Junior Senior High School. Once you get to the parking lot, anybody will tell you where the testing room is. Drop it for a second. Okay, now we have also, sadly, as we indicated, is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Spring Ham Fest, and it will be taking place in the parking lot at the Westwood Junior Senior High School at 701 Ridgewood Road. There are instructions on our website, and our website is www.barra.org. Admission now is $7 for buyers, and I think it's still $15 for vendors, and you get two parking spots, two marked out parking spots for the price of $15. If you check the weatherman, you'll find that we are expecting a great day. It's going to be, according to the current forecast, it'll be as high as 86 peak temperature probably in the afternoon. And of course, by that time, the Hamfest is pretty much over. But those people who haven't been to Hamfest should remember that Hamfest start early. Vendors arrive at 6. Setups start between 6 and 7. And officially, the Hamfest starts at 8. But by golly, you'll find that if you get there at 7, there's lots of negotiations going on. We'll have our famous Barra breakfast sandwiches, which will be on a hard roll with two eggs, two slices of cheese, and a slice of ham. For a second, I'm drawing a blank. A welcome sandwich at breakfast time. There'll be coffee. When the egg sandwiches are extinguished or consumed, we will then start hamburgers and hot dogs. There'll be plenty of food. Don't get a breakfast before you come. Enjoy the breakfast at the Barra Hamfest. There'll be a Barra table with things to slip in your door admission tickets and possibly win a door prize. And it should be a great day. Should be plenty of vendors, good weather, and good food. So come on down. Is that good enough there, Gordon?
I think that's fine, Tony. Just curious, what's admission to the Hamfest?
$7 now. You see 5, but our expenses at the high school have gone up, so we have to raise our admission. It's to be 7 now.
That's absolutely fine. Alrighty. That's super. And Let's see. Anybody else have any questions regarding the Hamfest?
W82ISC. I have a friend who is interested in taking the test, but I don't think he's interested in going to the Hamfest. I was wondering if he has to pay the admission fee anyway. Over.
Negative.
Just take the exam. The admission can be free.
Exactly. Who was the station who doubled with Tony and lost?
Comment?
Station with a comment?
Pardon, Bruce. Just one further on the testing. Bring a copy of your license. Bring your license. Bring a copy of your license. Bring a pencil. Bring a calculator with some scientific functions on it. Use of cell phones, tablets, personal computers, and other types of devices are not permitted. The calculator must have its memory cleared prior to use during the test.
See, if you have a calculator or something like that with a bunch of functions that you've saved, make sure you save them off somewhere else before you come into the test session, because you will have to clear your calculator memories. And as noted, you cannot use a cell phone or other intelligent device as a calculator, because they frankly can't be supervised adequately to make sure that you're not picking off the answers out of some memory somewhere, you know. So that's the reason for that. Anything else on the testing? Let's put the testing part to bed first. Okay, just a reminder, a photo ID is good. You must bring your Social Security number with you, or if you've pre-registered with an FRN, that's fine. If you don't have a photo ID, you have to bring two forms of ID, and that's fine as well as an alternative to a photo ID. So, Tony, anything else about the Hamfest?
Hold on, I'm here for questions. I hope to answer them if necessary.
Anybody have any questions for Tony about the Hamfest?
Repeat dates?
This Saturday.
2 AMI with a comment.
Go ahead, Tony.
You know, in the sake of brotherhood, we might indicate that on a Sunday, there will be a Hamfest over at the Hall of Science in Washington, New York. People interested may want to look into the Hall of Science Amateur Radio Club website and attend one over there. The big holdback on there is you've got to pay tolls both ways, or a number of tolls. Back to that.
Yes, you pay whatever extortionary rates are extracted by the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. You pay that only once, but it's like, I don't know, $14 or something. And then on the way back, on the way out and the way back, you get to do the TBTA crossings at, I think, $7.50 each way. So it's truly lovely. So it's actually more expensive on a TBTA crossing than a Port Authority crossing. But it is what it is. Okay. Any other comments about this weekend's Hamfest?
Lee 2J
go.
Yeah, for the Hall of Science one, if you don't buy too much big stuff to haul back home, it's very nice to take the train to Secaucus and Penn Station, and you can take the, I believe it's the L train, goes right out there.
It's the number 7 IRT, and do check, because they were doing weekend maintenance on the number 7 line.
That's correct. Thank you for reminding me.
L, formerly known as the LL, is the 14th Street line. The number 7 is the IRT to Flushing. It's the reason why they call it Flushing, folks. Anyway, I've spoken like a Manhattanite. I'm just, don't mind me, or former Manhattanite. Actually, I used to spend many a pleasant Saturday at the Hall of Science Amateur Radio Club when I was in high school and living in Manhattan. My very frequent Saturday sojourn was to get on the train wander out to the Hall of Science, come back, and then go shopping on 45th Street between 5th and 6th, or down to Canal Street, where electronic shops were more abundant. This is in the days where they were building and finishing the World Trade Center, so, you know, those old Radio Row stores were all gone on Hudson Street. But anyway, neither here nor there. Anybody have any more on this weekend's Hamfest? Tony, I'll give it to you for a little last comments.
Excuse my lapse in memory momentarily on the breakfast sandwiches, but I just got a bulletin from Steve, and it's two eggs, cheese, and Taylor ham. And the price for the breakfast sandwich, an enormous sandwich, would be $5. Things like hot dogs and hamburgers are hamburgers are $3 and hot dogs are $2. And there'll be cookies and chips and drinks all around the dollar. So, but the the breakfast sandwich will be a meal in itself. So, welcome.
Yeah, 4GHN. Go ahead, Mitch.
I don't think I've heard IRT in a long time, Gordon. Are you dating yourself with that?
The IRT? Well, there's the 1-2-3 on the west side, the 4-5-6 on the east side, and the 7 to Flushing. Is there something I need to know?
I just thought they haven't called it that since the 70s. I haven't called that in a while. The subway system in general.
Would you like me to break down the BMT lines versus the INDs, too?
Imagine that.
Real New Yorkers know this stuff. All right, so what is the avenue between 5th and 7th in New York? No one wants to answer that question? Mitch, I'll give you the first whack. What is the avenue between 5th Avenue and 7th Avenue?
Well, Broadway? No, that's the other side. I work right there in Midtown. I should know that. Over.
Avenue America.
Okay, so depending on where you are, it's certainly not Broadway. So the answer to the question is, actually, it's never Broadway. And for a New Yorker, no matter what borough you're from, it is never the Avenue of the Americas. Avenue of the Americas is what the street signs say. For New Yorkers, it's 6th Avenue. On that note, let's move on. Anything else on the Hamfest?
There's a portion of the Brucey Way, by the way, over.
Well, that's fine. I would sooner recognize that than Avenue of the Americas. Real New Yorkers call it 6th Avenue. For instance, I went to Xavier High School, 30 West 16th Street, between 5th and 6th Avenues. Thank you very much. By the way, if you're in a taxi cab flying along, you can't read Avenue of the Americas. Of course it's got to be 6th Avenue. Anyway. So, Tony, anything else?
Nothing further at this time.
Okie dokie. Well, thank you very much. That's awesome. And I unfortunately will not be here this weekend because I'm going to be in Pennsylvania chasing my son around hockey rinks and coaching and things like that. But it's going to be a lovely weekend for Hamfest, and I wish everybody well. It should be fun. Alrighty. Let's see. Richard. Quick announcement also. The net is also recorded. It's available on amateurradio.tangovictor, usually within a couple of days of the net. amateurradio.tangovictor, and they have nets all the way back in our archives for eight plus years, I guess it is now, going on 9 years. It's really kind of amazing. The other is we have a email group and a file repository called ComTech Group, Charlie Oscar Mike, Tango Echo Charlie Hotel, Golf Romeo, Oscar Uniform Papa ComTech Group, and it's on Yahoo Groups, and it's very secure. It's a closed group. If you're interested, either put in a membership request there, or send me an email at w2tangotangotango@att.com and w2ttt@att.net. Please send it to both, and I will take care of getting you added. All righty, with no further ado, Richard, W2PDQ, it's your ball, K2BAR.
Well, thank you, Gordon. I just wanted to ask if, I looked up on the net there, and you said I had a good comment, but you didn't have it transcribed. And my question was, how do I go and PayPal some money to this repeater since I'm using it so much? And I guess I have another question because I have 900 megahertz radio that I just, re-upped again. And the OBJ repeater seems to be down.
And what is the OBJ repeater?
The 900 megahertz one there in, I guess it's Orangetown. I couldn't hit it. Maybe that's my fault. Maybe the LMR 400 died on me since it's been sitting there all winter.
I honestly don't know. So you have an LMR radio and you haven't tried it all winter?
No, Gordon. I had a stroke and I have about three 900 megahertz radios here and a commercial Yagi with some LMR 400 pointed towards the northeast, and I just haven't heard anything on it at all. And there's usually it cross bands the other frequency, but I'm really interested in how to give money to this repeater since I'm using it so much, especially NHZ, listening to you and NHZ on it.
Okay. Very, very good. I'm sorry to hear about your stroke. That's pretty nasty, but you sound like you're doing well now, so God bless you. I guess your recovery has been pretty happy, huh?
Oh, yeah. The doctors at University Hospital treated me really nice, and I have all my vocal skills and 90% of my vision, and I can walk with a cane.
Very good, very good. Alrighty. So you asked about the payment system. The information for the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club is alpinerepeater.com, www.alpinerepeater.com, and you'll find the PayPal and membership information there. Also, please send a copy of the information to, including your email to me at the two email addresses I gave, my call sign at att.net and att.com, and I will make sure that you get on the luncheon list, which is always nice as well. So that's the scoop, okay?
Okay, if you can go put that on the log on your telecom thing with the URL on it, I'd really appreciate it.
Oh, you want that on the ComSec group email? Yeah, I can add that for tonight. No problem.
Thank you very much, Gordon. Back to net W2PDQ.
Alrighty, and that was put together rather hastily by W2APP, Paul, because we did need a reference. Similarly, by the way, Barra's membership information, which doesn't include a PayPal account but has other means, is www.barra.org. So it's alpinerepeater.com and barra.org. Those are the two clubs that sponsor this net and the one that sponsors this repeater. Alrighty, very good. Thank you. Bob, WA2ISC, your ball. Alright, I guess WA2ISC is not there. One more time, Bob. Okay, we'll come back to Bob. N2OEL, Noel, it's good to hear your local signal for a change, K2BAR.
Good, I don't get to time out the repeater this time.
This is N2OEL. 1968, I moved from Buffalo to New Jersey. I was tearing down the elevator, the 7th Avenue elevator. And of course, being the name Noel, on innumerable occasions I heard the joke, "Hey, you're tearing down the 7th Avenue L, now there's Noel." So back to my question. I put out a little Tar Heel tool on the back corner of my handicap van. That's a screwdriver antenna. And I threw a MSK 259 on the end of it with several nice Calamar BA-8 common mode suppressing choke, supposed to everything down to 80 meters. So hopefully I wasn't getting too much common mode down the outside of the cable. Anyways, the best I can get is an SWR 3.5. Can I tune the antenna up and down, and I can see the SWR dip when I get to a frequency and go back up again. I'm wondering if there's any way to improve this situation. Back to that, S2OEL.
I'm trying to get the, you had me chuckling over the 7th Avenue L, no L thing. I kind of lost the context of your question. So, what are you trying to improve?
On my screwdriver antenna that I put on, I got the little Tar Heel tool so I could put it up high using just a regular CB mount. And that's what I did. This way it's way up high, and supposedly I'll get greater efficiency. But I can't get the SWR below 3.5. I will tune it through a frequency, and you can see it dip down to 3.5, and then it starts going back up again.
That is a bit odd. All right. Have you tried a measured counterpoise?
You mean throw a wire on the outside and cut to quarter wavelength?
Yeah, on the ground side at the feed point of the Tar Heel.
No, that's one thing I haven't done yet.
Yeah, I think that would be a really good idea. I mean, start with something small and convenient, like something for 20 meters or something. You know, I would do that just as a starting point. Has anyone else seen this kind of problem? And I'm just curious, before I send it around, Noel, what bands are you having trouble like this with? What have you tested at?
Well, I got their, it comes with a 39-inch antenna, and you can buy a whip that's 56 inches, I believe, which will, the antenna that comes with, the short one, they advertise is 40 through 6 meters. I wasn't really interested in 6 meters, so I got the longer antenna, which they advertise is 80 through 10. Supposedly it works much better on 40, 20, 15, and 10 because it's longer, much closer to a quarter wavelength. Anyways, what I did is I would set it to 28.375 and run the antenna up and down and watch it dip, and then I set it to 21 megahertz and did the same thing, and then 14.2 did the same thing, then down to 7.150. Yep, all those frequencies drops down to 3.5 and then starts going back up again.
Interesting. Anybody have any thoughts?
W2JC, put a dummy load on the far end of the transmission line.
Yeah, I was thinking coax too, so that's good. Noel, can you do that?
Unfortunately, took a CB installer about an hour and 40 minutes to disassemble the vehicle enough to reach the point where we could mount the E-whip, and then he had to reassemble the vehicle back after we got it mounted, and I saw him do the ground. What I did is I bought a brand new piece of LMR 240 UF by Times Cable. Hopefully that was a 25-foot piece. Hopefully it's got 100% shielding.
Okay. So can you get to the underside of the mount, where I'm assuming there's a SO239 and a BL259 kissing each other?
There's a right angle, so that I could come out without sticking into the vehicle. This is a fully done, it's a conversion van, so it's really nice interior. I don't know if I can get back to that point again without having somebody disassemble half of the window shade and, I don't know, speaker, trim here, trim there. It was amazing how much stuff he had to take off to get to that point to install and cut the hole properly. Obviously, he's done it many times. He has the proper tools for it. And it, everything went back together, and it's the way it should be. But, again, I don't think I can get to that point again. That's why I bought the best cable that I could get. And they gave us part of the stuff for the installation kit to stop the Commonwealth current and to isolate the wire that feeds the current to move the antenna up and down. And I wasn't happy with that because I read online that most of those things are marginal. So I added a couple more, again, polymer chokes. I'm not sure if it was 61 or 44, whatever it was. I bought the one they recommended for HF, basically 80 through 10 meters is the one I bought. And I put as many as I could fit on the LMR-240 right there at the base, tried to choke the common mode current coming down the cable, and I don't know if I succeeded, but I figured I only get to have it apart once, and you can't get through it again, so I prepared for that eventuality and bought the stuff ahead of time. And of course the CB guy was actually a truck stop type place, and he was greatly amused at me putting all these chokes on the controller cable and the RG58 cable.
What, didn't he ever install a foot warmer for somebody and an extra alternator?
KM4HVQ disconnected.
So, Noel, anybody else have any ideas for Noel? Noel, the other thing you might try, you'll lose the upper bands, but try putting like a 6 meter or a low band whip on the top of the antenna instead of the one that was supplied, something a little longer. Again, it may not load up on 10 or 2 or 10 or 6, but it might work better. I'm really still thinking that you have a counterpoise problem. I'm willing to bet that somehow or another that thing's not making good ground at the antenna feed point. Either that or the freaking thing shorted to ground. And although shorted to ground, it would be really consistently miserable. I think your ground is open, personally.
W2BD2.
Good, Richard.
You know, that's my thought, too, is to run some braided copper wire from the ground to the antenna and attach it in several places on the top of the band to make a great, like, ground / counterpoise.
I was even going simpler than that. I was just going to attach a wire to the ground side of the mount. You can even do it with a clip lead if you can get to it. I'm thinking that there's just not enough metal around that clamp, or enough bonded metal anyway, to give you a counterpoise. So try like a 15 meter or 20, better yet a 20 meter quarter wave just hanging off the feed point. Anybody else?
One other thing.
Yes, sir.
What I started out with was with a CB whip that I cut 19 inches off of. That gave me the biggest tips. And as I went shorter and then to the recommended whip that they had for 80-10, that's the one that really doesn't give me much tips at all. So I think what I'm trying to do is there's a speaker close by, and I think I'll take the grill off and see if I can get the speaker out and get into the back of it. I do know he was very careful about the grounding, very carefully scraped the paint off on the inside, and ran a separate ground wire from where the coax cable came in, from there to the chassis screw. May or may not have done a good job, but I got lots of braid here. Unfortunately for me, I don't have a metal roof on this thing. It's fiberglass, so I might be losing a lot of ground surface that most other vans would have, and I don't have.
Oh, voila! Now you tell us that there's no metal up there. Ding, 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 ding. Okay, yeah. Get a quarter wave on that puppy and let us know how it works out, Noel. There was another station of double with you and lost before. Who was the other station? I guess not. Okay, anybody else?
W2JC.
Yeah, Jim?
A couple of things come to mind. One is, this points out, and Noel didn't say whether he did it or not, but it doesn't sound like it. Points out the importance of testing everything out by itself before it gets installed. Because if he had hooked it up with the cable and the antenna and everything before it got mounted and it went to, then we'd know there was something wrong with the installation. The other thing that jumped out at me is he said every time he gets a good dip on the SWR, it's at 3.5, no matter what the band is. And that sounds very suspicious to me, like the antenna is resonating fine and there's loss between that and the transmitter. Or?
Very likely, like you're feeding it with only one wire.
But when you have loss, it gives you a better SWR.
Depends on the nature of the loss. It could. You don't have a transmitter. You might not have it terminated properly such that, you know, you're actually getting the counterpoise that, you know, that would allow you to go below 3.5.
No, and I'm thinking that if I do get in there, I'll run some quarter wave radios. I can fit one around for 10, 15, 20 around the fiberglass roof, liner in the roof or in the cabinets, if that makes a difference. With one radio for each band.
Sure. That'll work. That'll work very nicely. Okie doke. What else? I can't think of anything else right this second, but anybody else have any comments?
I'll just identify N2OEL.
Thank you, Noel. That was interesting. That was a good question. Alrighty, just a public service announcement before people run off tonight. Keep in mind that in August we're going to be looking for volunteers for the Passaic County Fair. We're going to need those volunteers to register early as possible because we need to get you credentialed. It's somewhat like, but not quite as ridiculous as the New York City Marathon, but there is a lead time and we need to, like, even generally, if it's like last year, we'll need to even get car information from you and things like that so that you can get a parking permit in the staff parking and the like. We're going to be doing some really exciting things this year. It is 4 days. It's the 13th through the 16th. There'll be fireworks on two evenings. There'll be concerts every day and every night. And all the, you know, so it'll be quite a, and we'll have the usual rides and other civic displays and things like that. So it'll be up at Garrett Mountain. We are looking for some help for that event. Alrighty, and if you have mobility or other problems, but we even have jobs for people with those challenges, so never fear. So, with no further ado, Mr. Greg, I think it's your ball now. Oh, yeah, let's take it to you, and then we'll check with Bob again. K2GFM, K2BAR.
Hey, Gordon, thanks. I actually have a couple of questions, so I'm just going to pick one, and then if we have time at the end, we can come back around to me. my first question is, I've been experimenting with FL Digi and some of the digital modes, and I have, pretty sure I've gotten it to work, and I've been listening to audio samples off the internet, having FL Digi pick up from the microphone. But what I was looking for were some on-the-air ways of being able to test some of the digital modes. And I've seen some references on the net to some daily or weekly short, brief samples that are sent out over the air. They don't coincide with my availability, unfortunately. And I was just wondering what the collective wisdom here was on how to go about actually playing with and testing your digital setups with FL Digi.
That's a great question. So on 444-100, if I recall, we do have a couple of guys, W2KBF being one, who set up for it. The Farallon Radio Club is set up for it. The easiest thing to do would be to, just simply bring your gear down to the Farallon Radio Club and try it, if you can, if your station's portable. And it works very, very well. If it's a VHF setup or UHF setup, we've got that capability. The other thing you can do, amazingly enough, is set up a second station, but just acoustically coupled. And you'd be amazed, you can, just by holding the transmit down and running the audio out of the speaker into the microphone of the radio, you can transmit pretty well, and you can do the reverse on receive. You can receive on a radio speaker and, use the microphone on another computer to test out your installation. It's pretty straightforward.
Okay, yeah, I think I've done that, sort of, I guess what I was looking for, coming from a computer background as opposed to a radio background, you know, a lot of web services and other types of endpoints provide some type of echo function where, it's continuously running and you can just sort of test with it in an echo sort of mode, and I guess that's kind of what I was looking for. Yeah, I could package my stuff up and bring it down. It is a UHF, VHF setup, so I could do that. That's one way of doing it.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's no nice echo function. But you can do the basic testing, and you can also do the, the FL message and the whole thing and watch that work. It's really kind of cool, actually. Alrighty. Anybody have any additional thoughts on this? Anybody who wants to test with Greg, maybe? Alright, let me also give you another key person, W2KBF, Kilo Bravo Foxtrot, Whiskey 2 Kilo Bravo Foxtrot. His name is Carl. And he's good at ARRL.net, and you probably could drop him a note and arrange to get some testing over the air if that helps you.
Very good. I will try that. I'm also trying to recruit a friend or two to get set up to do it, so that's another way as well.
I cannot emphasize enough how easy it is. The other thing you can do is transmit some, record it on a cell phone and just play it back into a radio or into a, use your cell phone as a recorder, basically, and just play it back, see how it records, see how it plays back and receives.
Yeah, funny you should mention that. I was actually, going to YouTube and watching all the videos and how to do it. And I had FL Digi running, and it was hooked up. I had disconnected my radio, so it defaulted back to the PC's microphone. And as the YouTube videos were playing, FL Digi, every time they were sending samples, oh, this is how you do so-and-so, FL Digi was interpreting it and recording the messages that were being sent out through YouTube. So, yeah, that's another way to prove FL Digi works. I wanted to prove that it works over the air, though.
Sure, and that's why, like, it's something as simple as an HT and a recording or a computer on in another room can facilitate that.
Yeah, roger that, I got that. That's definitely a way to try it.
Yep. See, what else can I recommend? Just real quick, curious, what interface did you have and for what radio are you playing?
It's a Kenwood TMV71, and it has the digital out, or the, I guess it's video out, or whatever it is in the back of the unit that you can plug right into your mic and a headphone jack on your PC.
Sweet. Very, very nice. So you're all squared away. Alrighty. Any other ideas for Greg? Station?
N2VHZ.
N2VHZ. Go right ahead, Ken.
VHZ. Repeater.
Go ahead, Ken.
Hey, Gordon. Sorry I came into the net late. I wanted you to lock me into the net. I just had to get on the air now. We had like a little rotating supercell over the house and had to go into the safe room for a little while, so to speak. So, just log me in and I'll just be listening. Back to net control.
Roger. I'm glad to hear that you and your tribe are all safe. Very, very good. Alrighty. Let's see. I wanted to go back to Bob. WA2ISC, K2BAR.
W2BAR, WA2ISC.
You had a question. We missed you before, so go ahead.
Oh, no, I think we took care of it earlier on. Before I had to go help my mom get to bed, so that's why I was missing a little while ago. Over.
Roger. Okie doke. Very, very good. Thanks, Bob. John? Your ball now, N2NBR, K2BAR.
Okay, K2BAR, N2NBR. Good evening to Kenny. I didn't realize you had to go to the safe house there, your little room downstairs. I hope everything's okay out there. I have a question. Has anybody in the New Jersey area, North Jersey especially, out west, and also out west and maybe a little bit south, is anybody having any troubles receiving York Weather Bureau frequency on 162.55 megahertz? Back to you, Gordon.
Well, I don't have any trouble hearing it. Does anybody else?
W2BDQ.
Richard?
It's been really lousy as of late. Like there's something wrong with their antenna. I think the engineers are all asleep there.
Anybody else?
W2JC.
Jim?
I just keyed it in and it's coming in loud and clear right now. But from time to time they have had problems where it went off the air for various reasons. Over.
Well, that might be what you're seeing.
Okay, let me see if I have it.
Go ahead.
This subject came up earlier on another repeater, and those of us who live in Westchester are having a tremendous amount of difficulty in receiving it. I guess for a number of reasons, they have moved it to a building in Times Square as opposed to the RCA building. The RCA building was a much better site for us because of its closer proximity to the correct altitude, I guess it is. That's like 800 or 900 feet above sea level. And they were running between 200 and 300 watts in those days. And then GE bought the place and threw them out. Or they had difficulties with co-channel interference because of desensing. And it seems to me that in this day and age, you don't have to worry about desensing. All you do is crystal filter whatever is interfering with you. That's the U.S. government for you. And as I say, a lot of us around here in northern Westchester are receiving it very badly or not at all. And it seems to me that the Weather Bureau is not doing a good job in protecting the area's some 15 million people. And that includes notification for radio and TV stations as well as cable companies that quite often rely on that. Back to you, Gordon.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good explanation. The Times Square site just isn't quite what the RCA building was by any means. Alrighty. Let's see. I don't know. Drawing a blank here. But anyway, let's see what do we have to do next. Anybody have any other thoughts on this subject, I guess, would be the question.
W2JC.
James.
First time I've been here in a long time, and I'm monopolizing. There are several other NOAA broadcast frequencies which broadcast basically the same information. You should check those out and try a different channel.
Yeah, they really are, and some of them are really good. The one in northwest Jersey is particularly good. The one up in the Hudson Valley is pretty good. I actually have been receiving Atlantic City here pretty well as well. It's what's a 162.40, I think it is. It really is kind of amazing. And of course, I don't have the greatest of sites, I make up for it by having ridiculously high antennas on very small lots. So I use my 2-meter Omni, and it really does work extraordinarily well. So, worst case is just jack your antenna a bit, John.
When you say Omni, that's not a directional antenna, right?
Oh, no, sir. No. I have an old G7-144, wonderful antenna. It used to be really expensive, but I actually bought it from a guy who was a known perfectionist in his antennas and his rigging. He actually does a lot of tower and antenna rigging for people. And he had this G7-144 sitting around that it wasn't, getting used. And it had two pieces of aluminum that were seized. And he was at the Sussex Ham Fest. He says, "I want this to go away for $20. I said, "Here's your $20. He goes, "It will never work in the ham band." I said, "I'll get it to free up." He says, "If I can't get it free, you can't get it free." Well, hell's bells, I got it free. It's now sitting on the top of 67 feet, actually, of tower and mast, above my driveway and house.
All right. Way to go, then. It started out in the ham bands and went commercial, and then you returned it to ham? Is that how it went?
Well, what happened was it had been pressed. It had been, the aluminum telescoping sections had been nested far, and then it kind of galled and gotten corroded together. And I managed to free it and, set the antenna up, and away we go. It is by far the best 2-meter antenna I've ever had for FM or for vertical applications. It is just outstanding. And, if I ever move, that puppy's coming down and getting put right back up, or I will put away the money and get something better. Or, pardon me, not something better. I'll go get another one. I'll find one on the market. I mean, they still make them, but they're the G7-144. Look it up. It's pretty insane. Very nice antenna, takes lots of power, et cetera. You know, it's not like these Japanese, Chinese things that, you know, may or may not be good, depending on, you know, your mileage may vary, and, you know, I mean, I've got some